Hello, it's the April DCM podcast. We're recording this in late April, and I just can't quite get my head around the fact that we're already at late April. But this month, I'm joined by Sophie Gale-Evans, who is Client Business Director here at DCM. Hi, Sophie. How are you?
I'm good, thanks, Tom. How are you?
Yeah, I'm well, thanks. Now, Sophie has recently been leading on a very exciting new initiative here at DCM, which we'll go into detail on shortly. But before we do that, let's chat about what's been happening on the big screen in the last couple of months. March industry admissions are in, and they totaled 9.2 million admissions, which is up 12% from March 2023. So after the first 3 months of 2024, Q1, as some people call it, admissions are up 11% from Q1 2023, which I think is a great result, don't you, Sophie?
Yeah, fantastic. Fantastic to see that. We had a good year of growth last year, but great to see even stronger growth again at the start of this year.
Yep, it is. And that success in March was down to titles like Dune Part 2, which to date has delivered 2.9 million DCM admissions. And if we factor that up to industry admissions, it has delivered approximately 10, 16, 34 adult TVRs, which anything that gets to double-digit TVR numbers is big, isn't it, Sophie?
Yeah, really impressive. Amazing to see the sort of reach that we're able to drive, and reporting that to TVRs, I think, is a really great initiative for planners that we're chatting to.
It's worth reiterating that Dune Part 1 only delivered just under 2 million DCM admissions. So this sequel has delivered almost a million more admissions. And that is a trend we've seen with sequels across March. So we've had three high-profile sequels launch at the end of March, all of which have significantly outperformed the previous film in the series. So Ghostbusters Frozen Empire opened on the 22nd of March. It's already up to 1.6 million DCM admissions, which is approximately 400,000 more than the previous film. Godzilla times Kong, The New Empire, I don't know how we're saying it. Godzilla X Kong, Godzilla Kong, Godzilla Kiss Kong. I don't know, but it's Godzilla X Kong. The New Empire is up to 1.3 million admissions. The last Godzilla film finished with 768,000 admissions. And Kung Fu Panda 4, Po is back in a big way, so we're probably going to get Kung Fu Panda 5. It will shortly hit 2 million admissions, which is 500,000 more than the previous film. In the last couple of weeks, we've had Back to Black and Civil War open to much success. I really enjoyed Civil War. Have you seen Civil War, Sophie?
I have, and I absolutely loved it. Top three film of the year so far for me.
Oh, that's a big call. But yeah, probably not far for me as well. And Back to Black is another film that's set to cross the 1 million DCM admissions mark. So music biopics are doing well, which bodes well for the upcoming music biopics, which are on the schedule. So in the next month or so, we have Ryan Gosling and Emily Blunt in The Fall Guy, which seems to be universally loved. We have Kingdom of the Planet of the Apes on the 9th of May, which is great if you want to reach ABC One Men. And then 2 weeks after that, we've got Furiosa, a Mad Max saga, to give it its full title, which is in cinemas on the 24th of May and also great to reach ABC One Men. It's opening at the Cannes Film Festival the week before. It's George Miller doing what he does best. I can't wait to see that. May half term has plenty for the main Shopper with Children audience, as John Krasinski's If, which is short for Imaginary Friends, opens on the 17th of May, and Garfield the movie also launches around the same time. Early June is looking great for 1634 Men, as Bad Boys Ride of Die looks like hitting that audience as the last Bad Boys film did. And then a week later, one of the standout films of the summer is out, as Pixar's Inside Out 2 hits cinemas on 14th of June. And DCM's exhibition director Steve Davis was at CinemaCon just 2 weeks ago and saw the first 35 minutes of the film, which I think is really frustrating for anyone in the audience, because like, here's 35 minutes of film that you're really enjoying and now we're not going to show you anymore. But he said the first 35 minutes were absolutely amazing, as good as the original Inside Out. So it looks like Pixar are back in a big way, and we'll find out when Steve can watch the rest of the film on the 14th of June. Sophie, what are you most looking forward to coming to cinemas in the not too distant future?
There's a couple of titles that I'm really excited about. One coming out in early May is Love Lies Bleeding. It's already been out in the US to sort of rave reviews and looks like a really sort of stylish, quite exciting film. So
yeah, it looks genuinely different as well, doesn't it? You know, it's about bodybuilding.
Yeah.
And it's a mixture of bodybuilding and crime drama, and it's got Christian Stewart and Katie O'Brien, yeah, and then Ed Harris wearing an incredible hairpiece.
Yeah, looks really great. The reviews have been fantastic, and so yeah, really excited for that to come out over here.
Me too.
And later in the year, Joker Folie à Deux. So having seen the trailer for that now, just really, really exciting. I'm a massive Lady Gaga fan. So
obviously she's been in A Star Is Born. I thought she was absolutely electric in that. She was in House of Gucci. I thought she was great in that. I've not seen an American Horror Story, but apparently she was very good in that as well. I think this could be the pairing of the year.
Yeah, the trailer looks super exciting. I think they're taking quite a bold sort of musical direction with it. But yeah, the trailer looks fantastic and again, really stylish. Such great talent on show. So super excited.
And that's out on the 4th of October. And it's worth reiterating that the first Joker did over 5.5 million DCM admissions, delivered over 30 16, 34 adult TVRs. We're forecasting this one to be a little bit smaller, but maybe that's conservative because I think that first trailer was an absolute knockout. I mean, I as someone who liked but didn't love the first Joker, I watched the trailer for Joker Folie à Deux and I was totally taken with it. I think I really like the direction they're going with it. It's in cinemas on the 4th of October. So let's chat about the brand new AV Maximizer tool, which I teased in the intro, but we didn't say what it is. DCM launched it a few weeks ago.
Yeah, I've been live for 2 or 3 weeks now.
And you were instrumental in putting it together?
I was.
Yes. Can you tell us what it is? I mean, the title is kind of self-explanatory, but give us a bit of background to it.
So it's a really exciting tool we've built using industry data. It's hosted on our website. And essentially what it allows you to do is optimize a total AV plan to reach. So the idea is that we create a super quick and easy tool that allows planners to go in and optimise their total AV plan and really understand what cinema is delivering within that total AV mix.
What was the thinking behind putting it together?
I think what we recognised is there's so much data available, but a lot of that data still requires some degree of time-intensive scenario plannings to kind of prove out that best plan. And with many brands returning to cinema, we wanted to create a really quick and simple tool so users can kind of test out what the best AV mix looks like at the point of briefing us. And it simply requires you to select your audience, your channels, input your total budget or ratings, and then you can understand the optimal mix by channel to maximise your reach.
So I'm getting a picture in my mind of what it looks like. Can you give us a bit of context? You're a planner at your agency, and how would this work for you? And what would your process be in thinking, right, I need to use the AV Maximizer tool?
I think when you're thinking about the role of channel and you've got an AV plan, quite often you might want to consider cinema in that mix. But what you essentially need is really compelling data on incremental reach, on attention, different benefits that can be delivered to that plan to prove it out either to your clients or internally. And I think historically doing that has required sort of briefing multiple budget scenarios, going away and calculating reach off lots of different data sources. So it has been quite time intensive. Whereas now with this tool, it simplifies a lot of that. So it will give you that optimal view early on. So you can have really clear KPIs about the contribution of cinema. And particularly for people who might not have planned cinema in a little while or have a new client and just want some quick and easy stats to get a sense of a sensible cinema investment, it's a really great option, just as you're chatting to us, to quickly use it, as I said, hosted on our website, or we can run scenarios for you. So it's super quick and simple.
So you've got a planning background. You joined DCM 18 months ago?
Yeah, it's flown.
And at what point did you think, right, this is something that we need to develop here?
I think what we've seen in the industry is a lot of fragmentation in the AV market. So planners know that they need to consider a wide range of AV touch points to maintain the same reach, particularly for mass reach advertisers. And I recognise that cinema wasn't always thought of inherently as part of the mix, and it required a little bit of a sort of initiative and legwork from planners to really prove out that case. So what we wanted to do is essentially look at data available to build more of an optimizer rather than tell me what reach plan A might deliver versus plan B.
So it's as simple as a planner goes on our website, opens up the AV Maximizer tool, which will tell you the web address off shortly. They put in their total budget for their entire campaign.
Yeah, that's right.
And then it just gives you a breakdown on percentage and spend of where that money could go to get the highest amount of reach.
Exactly that. So you, as a planner, rather than having to brief out many different plans and then report the reach, you simply have to select that channel mix that you're using, whether that's TV, broadcast of VOD, online video and cinema. You select your audience, so it might be that you're trading 16-34s, it might be that you're trading house, person, kids. And then you pop in either the sort of total budget for your AV plan or the total ratings you'd typically be looking to achieve for your campaign. So it's kind of three quick data points that you need, and then the tool will go away and tell you what the optimal mix should be. And you get some really great KPIs, one being sort of the total reach of that plan, two being the incremental reach that cinema delivers, and three, we've got a really nice metric around attentive seconds uplift, partnering with Lumen to give a sense of, okay, you're not just getting more reach often by adding cinema, but that reach can also be particularly attentive, which is great for when you want to start with cinema.
So you've just mentioned Lumen. Now, if I'm, I mean, it sounds like something very simple that even I could use. I am sitting here thinking, okay, well, whenever I put something in, it's always going to say, oh, DCM should have 10, 11% of the budget. What's the data that's powering this?
Yeah, the data that that's powering it is really critical. We didn't just want to sort of mark our own homework. We wanted to use exactly the same industry trusted data that many planners and clients have access to. So for reach optimizations and that piece which tells you what the optimal allocation of either spend or ratings by channel is, the reach data comes from IPA Touchpoints.
Okay.
So exactly the same data that's in the channel planner, which is really critical for just giving that sort of unbiased view of what reach cinema is delivering.
So what you're saying is it's not just our data?
It's not. And even from a cost perspective, we have some benchmark CPTs, which we've actually sourced from Ubiquiti. But if planners want to edit CPTs to better match, you know, what they're actually paying, there's that facility as well. So it's all founded on industry data.
So how long has this process taken to put this together?
It's been the best part of a year.
Okay.
For something so simple, I mean, from start to finish, best part of a year. But now it's up and running really excitingly. We will have a sort of annual refresh of the data. So the reach data in there will always be sort of kept up to date and reflective of audience behaviour.
And what's the feedback been so far from, I'm assuming you're still friends with many planners and you deal with planners and buyers regularly. What's the feedback been like?
I think the user experience is really great for people, because when we say another planning tool, I think their hesitance might be, oh, not another one, because there are lots that do exist. But because ours has been designed with simplicity in mind, it's just super quick and easy to do. So really great feedback on that front.
Okay, and what are the key learnings or takeaways so far? Because you said it's been 2 to 3 weeks.
Yeah.
What have you really learned in that period?
So we've done, as well as feedback post-launch, we've done lots of testing, had some really great learnings. So just to highlight some of them, one is that the average share recommended for cinema is around that 10, 11% mark. The second being that we see cinema particularly coming out strongly for 16-34s and ABC1 adults, where we do drive a great fit with the audience and good reach. And the third is that even when an AV plan might not be able to access linear TV, if it's a smaller budget campaign, we still see that cinema has a place there. So cinema, even if you're running broadcast of VOD or online video only, cinema still drives healthy sort of reach uplifts in that case.
This sounds like an amazing tool, and I think everyone listening to this should probably go and check it out. Where can they find it?
As I said, on our website, www.dcm.co.uk/AV Maximizer.
Okay, that's very handy. Good URL. So let's talk a bit about your background, Sophie, and how you've come to DCM and how you've come to create this industry-leading tool. I think I can call it that, can't I?
Sure.
How's it been, 18 months at DCM?
It's been really great. Fantastic experience. And I think my previous role was leading multimedia planning for a number of large brands in FMCG and retail. Going from that sort of generalist role to a specialist role has been really great. It means that we're currently keeping up to date with what's going on in the wider industry, but ultimately crafting a really good cinema story considering everything else is going on, and you have to be super laser focused on sort of our product and what we can do. But ultimately, I think cinema advertising is such a powerful product. So it's been really great to build networks and get this back firmly on people's radars, particularly as AV reach fragments for younger audiences.
So you came to DCM from OMD.
Yes, yeah.
What was your role there?
So I was a business director in the connections planning department.
Okay, and what's it like coming to DCM from an agency?
Yeah, it's quite different. I mean, I've been quite lucky to work in sort of all three types of role now. I was first client side, my very first sort of marketing role when I started in the industry. Then working at a media agency, you see super fast-paced environment. You get to work with lots of brands, develop lots of skills in that sense. But coming here has been fantastic to see, to really get to grips with a channel in depth and understand what it's all about, what the USPs are, what's going on in the industry, and develop a new set of skills to really have that specialist knowledge.
So you've got all the skills now?
Apparently so. Yeah.
So what are the main things you were surprised about when you started DCM?
I mean, there are dogs allowed in the office. That's very exciting.
That better not be taken away, because honestly, whenever I come in on a Thursday or Tuesday and there's a dog here, honestly, it just lifts my spirits.
It's fantastic. You hear the collars before you see the dog and it's always so exciting.
And is your dog coming in?
Soon, I think. Okay. Soon. I've been building up to it.
Okay.
He's not been in the office before. So
no, he hasn't.
Be a big day when he does come in. But on a sort of work note, I think one thing that surprised me was how much data we have access to. I think there's a bit of a perception that only digital channels are really like tapped into lots of data and really rich data. But thinking about kind of our products, all the admissions are brand safe, verified by point of sale, and we can be really sophisticated about how we target even stuff like Cinemapper, which allows you to be really contextually relevant to location, something I didn't necessarily know before joining.
So do you think that's something that we need to be better at telling people about?
Yeah, absolutely. I'm always having that conversation. We do have lots of data. And even, you know, I love nerding out to all the box office admissions data.
Yeah, I like talking to you about that.
Seeing how films are connecting and then having a sense of, okay, what marketing of films is really connecting and what stories are connecting with audiences.
So from a planning perspective, what were your thoughts on cinema before you started at DCM, and how have they changed over the last 18 months?
I was quite lucky to use a fair bit of cinema on some of my clients, particularly in the fashion space in my previous role. So always had a sense of it was really great content. It was effective for that young audience. But I think particularly given the fragmentation I've mentioned, coming here and seeing how well we can contribute to that total AV plan has been really great. So I'd say now our three sort of key features which stand out to me. One is that incremental reach piece, and as viewing fragments, our ability to drive that. So through the AV Maximizer, we see that often really compelling, you know, anywhere from sort of like 2 to 6 points of incremental reach, which will be really expensive to drive in other channels a lot of the time based on the briefs we're seeing. The second thing is the attention piece. Naturally, we have great attention in cinema, and it's potentially the only media environment where people aren't looking at their phones, which is great and exciting. And the third one, co-viewing. So I think it's really powerful that people are often watching things together in cinema. So I think we've got a stat at around 98% of cinema viewing happens with someone else. And when you think about people are often watching different things at different times. You know, you and I were having a conversation. What are you watching at the moment? Everyone's watching different things. So the fact that when you go to the cinema, you are just watching something you've chosen to watch with friends, family, it's really powerful in terms of, you know, the message landing and how brands are built.
Yeah, it's funny because I was thinking this last week, because I was in the cinema last week. I'm in the cinema most weeks. And I was watching the Greggs ad.
Yeah.
And I recognised the one of the actors in it.
Yeah.
And I turned to the person next to me and I was like, look, it's the guy from that play we went to see. And then we were talking about it afterwards. And actually, it was a really powerful, fun Greggs ad that I never thought I would be having long conversations after seeing it about a Greggs ad.
Yeah. And obviously, when you have that moment of turning to the person next to you when you've seen a great ad, there's a sort of like acknowledgement in the cinema, which is quite exciting and not necessarily something you get in other environments.
And also there's that weird kind of thing where you don't want to say too much because I'm in the cinema, but I'm trying to communicate something. And then when the person next to me gets it without me having to actually say what it is, it's like a little, you know, just one of life's little wins.
Yeah.
You've got to take the wins when you can get them.
100%.
So let's talk more broadly about films. Are you a film fan?
Yeah, I am. I've, you know, always been to the cinema a lot. When I was growing up, lucky to have like a really beautiful independent cinema in my hometown. Always been a massive film fan.
So you said Civil War is one of the top three films you've seen this year?
It is,
What are the other two?
The other two for me would be All of Us Strangers.
Uh-huh.
That film broke me. I thought it was beautiful, fantastic cast and so well done. And Dune Part 2.
Okay.
So I sometimes like sci-fi, but not always.
What sci-fi do you like?
So it's really hit and miss depending on the film. So Interstellar, are we calling that sci-fi?
Yep.
Yeah, one of my favourite films.
Watched it the weekend.
Fair. But then there are others that don't hit for me. But with Dune, I actually watched the first one and enjoyed it so much, I then read the book before the second one came out to theatres. And yeah, really, really into
that
story.
Do you think reading the book enhanced your enjoyment of the film?
I think so. And I also think it was smart watching the first Dune before reading the book, because it would have been, there's a lot of world building that might have gone over my head had I not seen the first film.
Okay, so any Dune fans out there, Sophie says read the book.
Yeah.
And looking ahead to the rest of 2024, what films do you find clients are getting particularly excited about at the moment?
I mean, there's so much great stuff coming up on the slate. Naturally, there's lots of really exciting titles that do well for 1634, stuff like Deadpool and Wolverine.
And the trailer came out yesterday, the new trailer, yeah. And seems to have been rapturously received. I can't remember a comic book film trailer being so well received, apart from maybe Joker just the last week.
Yeah, audience reaction to that has been fantastic.
And both those films are going to deliver major 1634 adult TVRs, aren't they?
Yeah, absolutely massive. On a kind of big film sort of vein, I mean, Gladiator 2, it's been so long since the first one. I'm excited to see what happens there.
And it's Pedro Pascal facing off against Paul Mescal in a gladiatorial arena. I think the internet might explode.
Yeah, I think super exciting. What, rhinos, sharks?
Yeah, how are they going to get a shark in? So this is not us guessing. They screened some footage at CinemaCon a couple of weeks ago in Las Vegas. And in the first Gladiator, Russell Crowe is in an arena with a tiger. Well, apparently there's a shark in this one.
I don't know if sharks are native to the area. But
no, I don't. They're definitely not found on sand that often.
No, no. So that's an exciting one. But I think generally in terms of trends that I'm chatting a lot to clients about, family film is doing super well. We've got so many great titles coming out in the summer to reach the audience.
So Inside Out 2, Despicable Me 4.
Yeah, really, really exciting. And Q4 is just unbelievably massive. That mix of family, blockbuster. Yeah, I think we'll probably be talking to clients about Christmas earlier than ever this year, because there's going to be so much excitement about the slate and sort of what that can do.
Well, since we last recorded the podcast, I've seen Wicked at the theatre. Have you seen Wicked?
I have. I think I saw it, I want to say maybe 15 years ago now.
Well,
so
I saw
long
it 15 days ago. And I couldn't believe the reception that the music got. It was like being a pop concert. It was, the roof came off when they sang Defying Gravity. The roof came off, and I was just watching it thinking Ariana Grande and Cynthia Erivo are just going to blow the roof off every cinema that this plays in.
Yeah, I think so, and I think that could get rewatches as well.
Well, yeah, because it comes out on the 28th of November, so I imagine that a lot of Wicked fans will rush to see it opening weekend, week, and then we'll go see it again between Christmas and New Year.
Yeah, quite possibly. It's going to be, considering it's a sort of part Wicked Part 1, Wicked Part 2, if you assume they are going to end on Defying Gravity at the end of Part 1, that's going to be such a high to end a film on. It's going to be fantastic.
And the rest of the cast, I think, having now seen the musical, it all makes perfect sense. Jonathan Bailey as Fiero, Jeff Goldblum as the Wizard, and Michelle Yeoh as the teacher, whose name escapes me.
Yeah, I'm not good with
but
names.
Either way, I mean, Wicked, good bet for biggest film of the year, potentially.
Yeah, I think quite possibly. It's going to be an exciting race.
But as you've already mentioned, Q4, we've got Paddington in Peru, we've got Joker Folie à Deux, we've got Gladiator 2, we've got Moana 2, we've got Mufasa the Lion King.
Yeah.
Red One, which is the big Dwayne Johnson, Chris Evans Christmas film with J.K. Simmons as Santa, who goes missing and they've got to try and rescue him. Lots of big films in Q4.
Yeah.
From a personal level, what are you most looking forward to?
In Q4, I think, I mean, Moana 2, I've got a lot of excitement for. I've seen Moana many times. It's kind of, it's on every Christmas.
Moana is, I think, the most watched film in the world.
I can believe that. And my nieces and nephews love that film. It's almost kind of become a little modern version of The Little Mermaid, I think, in terms of how it's resonated with so many young kids. And really excited to see Moana 2, how that does.
I still sing You're Welcome in the shower some days.
It's great song throughout.
It is a great song. Yeah, I think it's a good year ahead. And anyone who is thinking, oh, I'd like to plan cinema, then the AV Maximizer tool is available on our website, developed by Sophie and the team here. And it's an amazing new addition to the media landscape. So thanks for joining me, Sophie.
Thanks very much for having me, Tom.
I'll be back next month. Thanks for listening. Bye-bye.